New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
Okay, really? I think it's almost obvious who tonight's guest is. By the way, you guys, the Tomorrow Show, it's Thursday night. We're drinking because why, Roxy?
Because Friday's for the men.
Friday's for the men. Your week's over. You're done. Bosses have no say tomorrow. Wives have no say tomorrow. You worked hard. Fuck it. It's over. Over at the Tomorrow Show bar, I've got a matzo ball. Roxy Stryer.
Hi, Kev.
Hi, darling.
Good.
I have another matzo ball. Ian Kaiser.
Captain Undergaro.
How are you?
Reminding you Friday's for everyone in actuality.
Oh, son of a... He's so freaking politically correct.
Gender inclusive. It's for everyone.
When Friday's for the men, it means for everybody,
like
okay?
Mankind.
No, and all the women who are working, it's your day, too. I think they have you off. That's my millennial crew. But already, I think you can, if you know this theme song, you know our guest who's trying to chime in. Millennials, do we have power to the guest booth? I guess we do, to the guest couch. With us, Sean Waltman, a.k.a. 123 Kid, a.k.a. X-Pac. How are you?
Phenomenal, Kevin.
Right? And we have to do, can we do the WWE salute for him?
Yeah.
We have to, right?
Absolutely.
You started.
I'm wondering what do we do? God, I don't know. Like it's what name would we use? He's got so many.
Well, I think the one that would fit best probably would be X-Pac, because how do you?
Sean Waltman would probably fit if you think the.
Sean Waltman.
Sean Waltman. Sean Waltman.
Anyway, yeah. So before we talk more, please let me at least be polite to the people in the booth. We have Jared at 32.
Yeah. What's up, Kev?
Who's a huge wrestling fan.
Hell yeah.
Many, many questions standing by. We have Lauren LaGrasso there. See?
Hey, Kev.
Lauren's a hippie chick. She's a little bit of a throwback.
A little bit.
That's why we love her.
TBT.
Her and her folk guitar.
They're not allowed on the bridge?
Yes, once in a while they are allowed on the bridge, but someone has to steer
the ship.
They're
in the engine room.
That's engineering. But by the way, all the colors are coordinated just to that. Well,
awesome.
We know all the details are involved. Now, over you can see in the back, I don't know if you can see X-Pac.
The one with the amazing hair, the beautiful lady with the amazing
hair. That's Pantene Katie.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Pantene Katie.
Hi.
So, Pantene Katie, do you watch wrestling at all?
I have recently started because of you.
Really?
With all of this here.
So you're starting to watch, and what do you think?
I like it.
So, Sean, back in the day when you were out, you'd go out after matches, and
yes.
You had a hit on the Pantene Katie, but if she wasn't a fan, was it harder?
No, well, yeah, always. I have to correct you. You might think that I would be the guy that would be hitting on women. I've always... Since I was a young child, I think maybe when I was like 4 or 5, I wanted to skate with a girl in the couple skate, and she wouldn't do it. And after that, fear of rejection ever since. Never hit on women, anything. I would have wanted to hit on her. I just wouldn't have had the balls to.
Even you wouldn't get the overflow from all the click and all those guys?
No, I didn't have to. It's just, I used to tell everybody, I'm more the, I don't go hunting, I'm catching, I'm the trapper, not the hunter.
Okay, let's reverse the heat,
Yeah.
So Pantene Katie, okay, he's in his prime, his match is over, you're single, okay, he's with all the other guys, are you going up to the group or what?
Sure, yeah, I am, but I'm going to make sure that I know my wrestling knowledge.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to prep. Yeah,
that
prep.
Always, that's huge.
See, so wait, so, yeah. So what do you mean that's huge? Does that happen? Is that what they used to do?
No, but I mean when somebody knows things about you, like,
you know,
has knowledge, like, you don't just get that knowledge just like, it just doesn't, you know, That you got to kind of look for stuff.
But would you be flattered? You wouldn't say, "Oh my God, like fangirl," or no, you like that.
Yes.
By the way, even
but I got to be 100 with you. Like the looks at that point in the, you know, meeting somebody is a huge deal.
All right. So, Pantene Katie, on that note, please go to the John Taffer Bar. And would you please be so kind as to get us 2 25-degree Bud Lights to celebrate the occasion? And then also we'll see what she looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Pantene Katie.
I'm going to have a beer.
Thank you, sir. Well, it would be my honor. It's Thursday night.
I don't have a beer very often.
I know, but I know you don't. But you know what? But this is what we – it's Thursday. If it was Monday night, no. It's milk and cookies. It's Thursday night. Our listeners know and our viewers know the week's over. We
Pantene
celebrate.
Katie, get me another beer.
Thank you very much. And what, last shout out to our esteemed executive producer, Mr. Christian Blatt.
Hello, thank
Christian,
you.
Christian, any wrestling?
I was a big Hillbilly Jim guy, but not really much after that. You know, it was Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. I loved the cartoon wrestling. There was a Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Yeah,
everybody was on it, Roddy Piper. I watched that. Yeah, my brother watched the real wrestling. It must be because I was little. I was allowed to watch the cartoon.
Wow.
X-Pac, you probably watched the cartoons.
I did. I watched anything that had to do with wrestling. If there was some little something on the news, like, coming up about wrestling, I watched it. I watched good wrestling, shitty, the shittier the better at one time. Just any kind of wrestling.
I was the same way. There was a thing called Bedlam from Boston. It was horrible, but I had to watch it.
Yeah, it's brutal, but you have to.
But we came up in the – okay, here comes Pantene Katie sporting – now, Katie, this is your look of the week, right?
I'm scared. I'm afraid I might even make bodily contact.
No, it's fine. Tom, it's fine.
I'm just kidding.
It is fine.
Right?
Fine.
Katie, you know, Katie's my yeoman, and this is her look for the week. Do you see that nice little spin, that plie?
Are all yeomans ladies?
Yeah, at least in the 60s Star Trek.
Yeah, even on Next Generation. I think
it was great. There was a moment where Kirk was, one of the episodes. Case, you're not dismissing.
No, but we need Katie to know her camera because she's got to go.
Here, okay. Come here.
Okay.
That's it, babe.
There we go.
But, you know, there was a great episode where I remember one time Kirk was under some mind influence. He was almost like drunk. And
Kirk drunk?
Or drugs or some mind influence. But
oh, you mean on the show?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And he turned around and he was like, he said, "Do you know, I have a beautiful yeoman. Have you seen her?" And he was just, he had this like moment where like he was like, he dropped his guard as a captain. And he was able to say, "Now I would never say that because I got to steer the ship." Anyway, Katie, would you join him up on the couch to make him feel comfortable?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, sure.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm going to start getting...
No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Just a little moral support.
This is awesome.
I didn't know this was going to happen either.
This is awesome.
This is awesome.
Just up there for some moral support. That's all. Don't get nervous.
So, anyway.
Katie's really friendly and nice. She doesn't
Very
bite.
Nice.
And she gives really good moral support, I will say.
Everything's fine.
Okay.
By the way, what do you think? Okay, so what do you think of your 25-degree Bud Light?
I need a glove.
Right? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Katie, will you hold it for him? Do you need Katie to hold it for
strong.
You?
No.
Nice.
Salud.
When you got into wrestling, it was still, I feel like it was still kind of hard to get in. You know, back now today, it's all readily available. You can go to schools, but it was still, right? It was still, because I remember as a little kid daydreaming. How do I, and it just seemed impossible. So how did you?
Boy, well, see, all right. I went to a live wrestling event when I was 10, and it was Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair in the main event. Imagine that, like your first wrestling
one.
Ever, right? So I fell in love with wrestling. I immediately knew that's what I wanted to do. And so I started setting the ring up. And when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, but how did you get to do that job? Because even those jobs didn't work.
Well, I knew somebody that worked at the venue, first of all. So that got me in the venue. Then they always need help.
By the way, Roxy, so you understand that was the only way in. This is the shit that got you in.
When you want to do something, you do whatever you have to do. You put yourself in the right place at the right time. You know, you have to have a vision in your head. There's so many things that I didn't realize I was doing back then, but then I read a book, like a self-help book, and there's all these, you know, seven, was it Napoleon Hill? I forget. anyways.
No, but that's important. That's amazing. But that's amazing about you because, you know, you're not, you weren't, didn't have the size of the other guys. And you also didn't have the.
And I know I had no positive, like, reinforcement. I'm like, yeah, you can do it. It was all the opposite. Oh, don't be foolish. Don't be silly.
The middle class, like, that mentality.
Go to school. Don't be stupid. You're never going to fucking
But you also didn't have that. And I know you've said this too before. You didn't have that that douchebag side to you that almost some of the guys need to have, where it was like, I must have, like, well, you know, this Hollywood. I have to have the spotlight, and I will kill and ruin anyone behind the scenes to get it. And I know there's guys in wrestling. You don't have to say who they are, but I know there are. And you're not like, you weren't like that, so which makes you, that was even harder for you to ascend.
Yes.
I just want to make sure we hear everything you say. Will you put your mic a little closer?
Yes,
yeah, there we go. Thank you.
He's nervous around Katie.
I am.
Yeah, Katie made him a little nervous. Right. She makes people that way.
Right
These
now.
Three girls all make me nervous. It's okay. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? You didn't have that, like, I have to be number one. I've got to have the top, right?
I always liked to be a team player in the overall show. Like, don't have to be the top, the main event. You want to aspire to be the main event, but trust me, like, second from the top, third from the top is pretty damn good too,
right?
You know, in the WWE.
And for you to be, this is what makes you incredible, to be part of not one but two of literally the greatest wrestling groups.
Well,
DX,
you know, some
and
people
NWA.
Say Four Horsemen, this and that, but like on a grand scale, come on,
I'd say
DX.
No, and then third is Horsemen. And I know I love the Horsemen and I love Rick, but it's just, I'm sorry, and I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that, but it's, to me, it's NWO and DX. They're just, I don't even know how to.
I'm not saying they were the best, because that's a subjective thing anyway.
Oh, I'm going to say it for you. They were the best.
But. They were the biggest.
Yes, the biggest. Okay,
beyond a shadow of a doubt.
The biggest.
There's no arguing it.
Jared, what would you say, what was better for you, your opinion, NWO or DX?
I was always an NWO guy just because I was partial to the Hulkster. Because, you know, I grew up in that era in the late 80s and the early 90s, and then kind of lost interest. And then the NWO came around, and I had much bigger interest just in the older guys, and then you started mixing in the younger guys like yourself in the group. It was fun.
I want to know which one,
you know, what was the more positive thing about being in a faction like NWO or DX? Like, which one did you like better, or what aspects did you like better in each one?
Well, okay. How about if I tell you what I didn't like about the NWO?
Okay.
Because that was the only thing that, or one of the only things that made it, shouldn't be drinking beer right now.
No, you're fine. Don't worry.
We're that's good. Okay.
You're so good. Don't worry. Look, that's why Katie's there.
So, anyways.
Katie, give your man confidence. Come on, honey.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because it was amazing.
See? Yeah.
Okay.
See?
I feel so much better.
Yeah, don't you feel better? Okay.
So, NWO is amazing, all right? Obviously, when you watched it, you know, you could see how much fun we were having, except when they were pelting us with shit, you know? I don't remember that.
Yes, of course. It was.
They let them do it. They let them do it. But anyways, the WCW let them throw the shit because
they
thought
it looked good on TV. Who's throwing things?
The fans, thousands of people throwing shit at us in the ring. I mean, at first it was just cups, then people started planning on what they were going to bring to wrestling to throw at us.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this. Because I was always wondering why we never saw this again.
Well, because we said if they keep doing it, we're leaving the ring and you're not getting the main event. And they didn't believe us and they kept throwing shit. And so we walked out of the fucking building. Excuse my language.
No, you're fine.
The garbage brought an aspect, though.
It's not asking too much to not get shit thrown at you.
Right.
Well, because you could get, your eye could get taken out.
Oh, yeah. I've had coins. Well, in Mexico, I had shitty diapers, cups of piss, hot sauce, every gross thing you can think of thrown at you.
In Mexico for the WWE?
No.
What else did you not like by the NWO?
It was,
being in-
okay, that was what I was going to get at. The schedule, it got to be ridiculous for me. Like, I left WWF partly because I wanted to spend more time with the family. And then eventually once I got there was no cap on my dates per year. So just, all you know, at one point it was like 25 days a month.
So
and
in
I
your
got
contract,
hurt, broke my neck.
In the contract, you didn't say anything about how many hours or how many days.
180 days. But the thing is, they can just work you that 180 days straight. So that's when I went back to WWE.
Such a smart move, by the way.
Well, I had a little help at first, but I wanted to leave anyways.
What was the help?
Well, I broke my neck.
Right.
And I was out. I had surgery, and it was like 10 months into my recovery. Right as I'm ready to come back, they pay me 100% the whole time. And Eric,
no, by the way, is that because that's WCW's
just how WCW
corporate?
Did it, yep.
Well, that was good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was great. AOL Time Warner.
Right.
Yeah, their checks, you didn't have to worry about their checks bouncing. Or Vince's. I wasn't trying to say that.
No, but Vince might not pay you if you're injured, right? Does your?
It's different.
It's
yeah.
different, right?
Yeah.
Your rates go down.
Yes. But, just as I'm ready to come back, Eric got hot at Scott and Kev. And there's other things to the story, but, like, that's basically what happened. And so he fired me. He sent me a letter of termination by FedEx. And
because he was hot mad
at... It was just more of a strategic move, I think, than anything.
To send them, a landmark firing.
Yeah, like...
To send a message to the boys.
Cool down, which didn't work. They just got pissed.
Right.
And quit helping. So, and I was like, oh, I'm not coming back. And, you know, I had the DX thing waiting for me. Sean was leaving. It was like, Eric gave me to them on a silver platter. But the thing is I had that 180 days fried into my brain that they could work me straight through. So one of my things I asked for was 15 days a month. The 180 broke down into 15 days a month, so they could only work me half the month. That was huge for me.
Huge.
That was more important than getting a bigger downside guarantee. There were several things that I got that they weren't as worried about, as opposed to the number of the downside, that ended up costing them way more than if they just would have paid me the fucking money I wanted.
Right. Right. Yeah, sometimes they don't think that.
Exactly.
Obviously, they think, yeah, that's corporate suits. But what about the DX then? So what is, I mean.
It was amazing. I can't even, no matter what I say right now, it's not going to be good enough to explain.
So Fiends, I feel like he likes DX better, Jared, than NWO.
I made way more money, way more. And that's like to me the number one thing.
That's why you're there.
Especially when you're having the most fun of all time doing it. And you're doing whatever you want. Creatively on the show.
You guys were hilarious.
We made that shit. Somebody pushed us in the right direction, maybe wrote like the general outline of what we were doing. We came up with that content all on our own.
The number one thing, though, it's not freedom to be creative or any of those. It's just like that paycheck. You really got to cash it in.
It's all the above because, trust me, that paycheck doesn't mean nearly as much when you have no creative satisfaction at your job.
Yeah. No, they
creative
were having...
Creative satisfaction is... highly underrated if you love what you're doing. Mm. If you're just one of those zombies that goes to work, punches the clock, I guess it probably doesn't matter.
Are there wrestlers who do that?
What?
That don't punch the clock?
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that either. But, you know, don't expect to be, you know, closing the show very often.
Right, if you're like that.
Yeah, you're going to be jerking the curtain. That's fine. We need those.
What's jerking a curtain?
Jerking the curtain, opening the show.
Yeah.
Oh.
When you guys did the, I love the bit when you guys stormed WCW.
Probably the greatest thing ever wrestling.
Is it true that you guys were afraid Haku might come up?
We were joking around about that, but he's just way too much of a sweetheart to have done that. I mean, he could have, but yeah.
And by the way, would any of them even take up and defend WCW at that point?
A few of them would have.
Yeah, who do you think? Who would have?
I couldn't even begin to guess. But I'm sure a few.
You guys,
I'm
this
sure
was epic.
Yeah. So. We show up and there's a Jeep sitting there and we're like, what the F's going on?
All right, fill me in.
Okay, go ahead, Sean. Explain to the kids.
Huge
Explain
war,
to your new girlfriend,
huge,
Katie.
Huge war between us, WWF, and WCW. Huge. We're both on Monday nights at the same time. 12 million people watching between the two shows. And WCW is really operating under predatory, like just predatory tactics, one after another. They're counter booking their shows to be like right down the road from us, and you know, just instead of worrying about their own shit, they're worrying about like taking us down,
right?
And which is long run, terrible idea. It's just
right. I tell these guys all the time. You see, all your competition, focus on you.
You mean in life or in this specific situation?
In life, but especially in the
in business, just focus on you. I mean, you can if they're it's like running in a race. If you can look at the person ahead of you and what they're doing right to help you run your race, but if they're behind you and you start looking over your shoulder, you're fucked.
Yeah, and you know? And so, anyways, it just got to we finally had enough. They booked this show and it was like 40 miles away. In Norfolk, and we were in like Hampton. I forget where the hell we were. So we get to the show. This howitzer and this Jeep are there, and we're like, "What's this?" And finally, they clued us in. They're like asking us if we would do it.
And the writers.
Yeah. No. Vince.
Oh, Vince.
Yeah. And
what did Vince say?
Because this was a big deal at the time. Nobody would even have ever thought of going and rating the other people's show while it was going on live.
And they had no idea. The other people.
Hell no. No.
And what did Vince say to you? Tell me how that goes down.
And he's like, "Well, we want to do this thing where we go and we invade them, and you know, we bring the cameras, and you guys don't have to do it if you don't want to." And we're like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is the type
amazing.
Of thing that you would not want to miss." I would it would be okay for me if I died the day after that. Almost, because that is like such an amazing thing to be able to
do. And look at the crowd.
For a wrestler.
What was the crowd saying, the people outside the arena saying?
They were just all saying how much WCW sucked. Yeah. Oh. And there was a sign, you know, the... Yeah. And then we rolled down the ramp, and they closed the door on us. And I wanted to go down the ramp first so they wouldn't know we were here. And we could get in, but
did WCW answer back after this? Did
well, Eric Bischoff got on TV and he challenged Vince to a fight, but that was it. When we did that and then showed that stuff on our show, like it was downhill from there. We won.
Was this before the screw job?
After
the screw job. Wow. Was I know the screw job like that? Start of the ratings swing.
I think so. That was what really got
they won
my
that
attention.
Night. Yeah, yeah.
So, anyways, this was such an amazing thing. I can't really do it justice right now, but
so there's no validity to all the Haku, like all the stories about him, you know, because he's a tough guy. So that you always hear the rumors about him.
No, because you know, here's the thing: you never know. Next year, you might be working for Vince McMahon again. You know, WCW is going to be loyal to them. Why would they want to
say it all the time?
Why would they want to fight their brothers over a company that could give two shits?
I say all the time, be loyal to individuals and not corporations, because the corporations, like the people in those seats.
Yeah, but corporations are people.
No. I mean, listen, I get the argument, but I'm saying, but a lot of what you don't understand is the people in those corporations change seats.
And they answer.
But the individuals, like Vince is an individual. That's a family business. You knew, you know. And so I get people fuck with me all the time. I'm like, for big corporations, I'm like, you're being loyal to corporations. I promise I'll be here in 20 years. I'll be here. They won't be. The corporation may not be, and even if it's going to be different people who aren't going to give two shits about you, you fucking dumbass. but it's funny. Who do you think would have defended WCW? Who would have come
out? I thought I said something about that earlier, but now that I think about it, I can't really think of one person.
I don't think so either.
No, outside of Eric. He would have fought all of us.
Really?
Yeah, he's a ballsy motherfucker. Yes.
Really?
I like Eric, actually. A lot.
Well, he has martial arts training, right?
Yeah, but even if he didn't, I mean, he's just...
Well, ultimately, you know, he was into a lot of great, you individuals. He was good.
Pretty cool. He could be a dick. He's the first person to say it.
Well, I think it also came very fast to him.
And he's a guy that's just a normal-sized guy that is dealing with these big monsters that are really intimidating. And, you know, you kind of got to put that, you know... I don't know. I'm not going to call it a facade because it wasn't phony, but you have to put that, you know, that front up. Like, I don't know. I think he just didn't want people to think he was a pushover at all. Hmm. So,
but. Did you have any good stories when your time at WCW with Eric? I mean, you guys had a good run there when you were there, and he was in charge. What do you think he brought to the show? And it, I always wondered, when you see something crumble, was there any ideas that were really close, like storylines involving yourself, that just didn't materialize?
No. I wish I could say, because we kind of came up with our own stuff, and Sullivan. Eric knew that, like, he wasn't real smart on the wrestling part as far as booking, like, and writing, you know.
Was Sullivan that good?
Great.
Really?
Yeah. He needed, you know, you need to have reins put on him, too, but I think everybody kind of does.
You know, he reminds me of a typical Bostonian, right?
Oh,
tough,
yeah.
But then also, like, maybe too opinionated and, like, right, chubby. But
that's okay, though.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
But it's funny because he never got recycled back to where Dusty did and other people did.
He never really worked there much. You know, like
when he was young, he did. Probably, I remember
a little bit.
I remember as a kid watching him.
Yeah, but he went pretty fast out here to San Francisco and then Georgia and Florida.
But smart guy, huh?
Really smart. Yeah, yeah. And I grew up on him. You know, he was there the first time I ever went.
The whole devil thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. That was for me as 10 years old. That shit was real.
Yeah, seeing him with the Alice Cooper. Like,
yeah, man. Thing,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he had ring psychology down for sure. Jared, what did you want to know about 1-2-3 Kid?
Well, you always hear, because Sean comes from, you know, the age of the wrestler that was just put through complete hell. You've heard the stories about the training and everything. So I just didn't know, when you were coming up at such a young age, who were some of the people that were influences on you? And did you have any training stories, you know, where someone tries to break your arm or just really
rugged
stuff?
Because you came in at that time when it was still, you got hazed.
And we were doing before there was MMA, we were pretty much one of the few places you could learn to do submission wrestling. And MMA pretty kind of started in Japan with this group called the UWF. And the matches were still worked, but they were real.
I've never seen Backlund wrestle.
Bob did. He wrestled Takata over there and a few other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did see those?
Yeah, and he's so humble.
Yeah.
He's
like, and they took liberties on him. Like, he left himself open. Yeah. He got kicked really hard in the head. And you know, it was really foreign for Bob to... Because, you know, I mean, if you... I trained in that and was taught how it went, and I, you know... But if you didn't... And you just show up there. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And then he says, Kevin, I just would bring them down and put them in holes. Because Bob, you know, is like,
sure.
Bob, you know, like, but that's what he said, too. He said, you know, he goes, the money wasn't worth it.
Nope.
You know, he's like, it wasn't worth it to get hurt.
And I, you know, the reason why I didn't stick with that is because I really enjoy the entertainment aspect of wrestling also. And it turns out I like that more. I love the technical part, and I was a huge purist when I started.
So you can be shoot fighter
sure,
if you need to be.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm a good one.
Yeah, but you are. You're just humble and you're nice. But why didn't
not
you kick Peter Brady's Peter Brady's ass on the
it's
surreal
not my
life?
Nature. It's. I mean, I would have if he would.
What's it? Not Mike Lookaland. Christopher Knight.
He's a nice guy, though.
He is nice. Yeah,
he's very nice. And that was just a really unfortunate. Circumstance.
We're talking about when China was on his old girlfriend was on Surreal Life, the late China, and I remember Christopher Knight, aka Peter Brady from the Brady Bunch, had to get sent out to China.
Well, they were Adrian was pushing him, kind of egging him on, like, oh, go kick his ass,
go get him, hubby.
Really nice guy. It would have been a bad mistake.
Bad mistake. Yeah. I'm saying as I'm watching this, I'm like, this. And even if
think
you
think what you want about me at the time, but that still would have been. A bad idea.
It was like Diamond Dallas Page says. Like, it's you guys just wrestling is like getting hit by a car 300 times a year. Just the fact that you it's like just
I could give them the first 10 shots.
So I'm saying the Hollywood guy is going to come out and like, I don't care how many weights you lift. I've got like no, I'm
not that there's
be ready.
No tough guys out here, because there's a lot of tough guys.
There are not that many.
I know.
There are there. Who?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, the guys that do MMA, like I know the guys who, like Joe Rogan's a tough guy, and I know Kevin James is really tough.
Ed O'Neill.
I've heard. I just heard that the couple weeks we did a show with the.
Not too many human beings have that many stripes on their Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Do you know him?
No,
but you just have heard that.
Yeah,
We had Kelly Kelly on recently, and she was talking about how no matter what was going on in the locker room, in the ring, everyone was always professional because it's people's lives at stake. I'm curious, if on the men's side, was that was the same? Like it
almost
never went
always.
Into the ring?
Yeah. It's for when you're working with guys that are there full time and they're going through the same things you are, even if you don't like each other. Yeah, it's like that. You don't
see. I like the old school where guys. You'd hear the stories where guys like would cross the line.
We still light each other up.
Why do you say almost always then and not just always?
You know, I mean, every now and then, like, somebody will come along. Somebody will come just be starting with the company and not have – they'll have the wrong idea of how things work there. They might – you know, things might have worked some different – some like in Mexico or different parts of the world where, you know, maybe they just have a different philosophy.
So it's usually the newbies. Know?
Newbies are just new to that way of doing things.
Who are some of the stiffest people you fought? Meaning stiff is the ones who like are
the hard ones that hit the hardest?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Scott Hall.
Scott Hall, your boy! That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
But he doesn't hit anybody any harder than I do.
You hit hard?
Yeah. Yeah, but not. I don't hurt anybody.
Oh my God! Look at you with the mullet. Yeah. I love this. This is a historic.
Look at all the baby fat.
With where 1-2-3 Kid beat Razor, right?
Yeah. So I never locked. This is the first time we ever locked up or anything. We had really good chemistry. Good.
So this is historic, you guys. This is his whole start of his career.
Yeah.
So Sean's in the ring here. Sean Waltman's in the ring against Razor Ramon, who's Scott Hall.
Yeah, that
and
hurt
Scott
like
is barely even his prime. He's, you know, and you're a baby. You're like a rookie, like you said. You got the mullet. You haven't sat in a tanning
that
bed
ring
yet.
Was like a billiard table to take a bump in. Watch.
And look how high he goes in the air. Katie, you got to be impressed with your man.
I am.
Right? To go through this? Come on.
And that's the Manhattan Center, and you know, right across the street from the garden.
Isn't that amazing? Back in the day, this is where Raw was.
Yeah, 800 people barely fit in that room.
This is the first season, right?
Yep. This was the first major, angle. We call them angles, like people, other people call them storylines.
Right.
First one that they actually did on Raw.
Do you remember this match? I mean, do you remember, like, you know, the moments?
Absolutely.
Oh, he's got you for his finishing maneuver. Or one of it. He's
set
you up.
He's just doing a basic squash match on me, which was done back then. We don't really do them anymore.
Right. So squash matches when they take a jobber or, you know, someone and they just beat the shit out of
them. Yeah, you get no offense. They're not entertaining matches. They're just used to.
Oh, that's the 70s. I was bored through my childhood, but I still watch. But it was so boring.
Yeah.
Sean, you came in at this time where the kind of old guard was on its kind of on the way out.
Yeah.
And you can hear, of course, Mach. The late Macho Man was on the call here. Did you have much?
One, two, three. The surprise pin. See,
that looks like we're blowing each other right there.
And look at it. And Wisely got out of the ring. Got out of the ring.
I should have ran into the crowd.
Yeah, and ran backstage. So this was basically the start of his career. And then the nickname, 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah.
Right?
I hated that. I wanted to. I swear to God, I think I cried when I heard that was going to be my name.
Why?
It's so stupid. when you're that age, and like, I was in such a hurry to grow up.
How
anyways.
Old were you there when we just saw you in that match?
20.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I was almost.
I don't even think they let. You don't see many 20-year-olds anymore.
5 years, Russ. They won't. I was like, because of how, you know, things happen with me. Which weren't, you know, I mean, the struggles I had because of being so young.
Right.
Well, that's one of the reasons. But, you know, they decided eventually, like, okay, we shouldn't hire anybody until they get some more maturity or, you know, a little bit more life experience.
You think if you had been a little older when you started, there wouldn't have been any problems?
Yeah, but I was, and here's the thing. For 20 years old, I was really already really mature. I was a father already. My son was a year old. And I was still not ready for that. Still. So I think it's a good idea for them to wait. You know, I mean, I wouldn't make that a blanket rule, but I would make that, you know, kind of a rule to follow. But, you know, still go case by case, because there's going to be some cases where somebody's extremely mature for their age, and maybe it's appropriate that they come in at an earlier time.
How old was Cena?
I don't know, because I don't know.
Jared, how old was Cena? He was felt
I
like
just
he was
remember
an
when he first came around.
He was an old soul.
He debuted in 2002. And he's, I believe, 37, 38 right now. So that was 14 years ago. So he was like 22, 23.
He might have been signed in 02, but he was doing TVs and dark matches like from the early from the late 90s. Hmm. He would come. He was called the Prototype at one time.
And for WWE?
Well, he would do dark matches. He wasn't signed yet, but they knew. They knew that he was going to be a huge star. I remember sitting them, watching them like, talking about him and pointing at him. And
wow.
Yeah, Pat Patterson taking a liking to him.
Kev, why do you use him as an example? Because you think he was an
I feel like, no, I do. I feel like he had, there's certain people, Maria's one of them, Maria Menounos, my girl, but who have very old souls and can handle it. I couldn't. In my 20s and whatever, when I was working, I was, you know, drinking and
sure.
Trying to get Pantene Katie. But how are you supposed to know, meaning if you're the employer?
Yeah. How are you supposed to know when you're hiring people if they're somebody who can't handle it?
Phil, who runs AfterBuzz, has an old soul. I mean, you just have to be a judge of talent. I mean,
they should do like a psyche eval on guys when they hire them.
Probably.
I know like some people might think that's a terrible idea, but I don't know. I mean, it might be something to like, talk about, at least have a conversation about.
Are there some people who are wrestlers that you feel like wouldn't pass a psyche val?
I don't think it's a
back
matter
in
of,
your day, half of them wouldn't have passed.
Correct. Well, half of us wouldn't have passed the physical they have now to just even be able to perform, because we were all working injured. We all had, you know, different things going on. Half of us are needed surgery on one thing or another.
It's hurt the creative a little bit though.
Totally.
Because you guys were such cowboys.
Yes.
And you guys were such rock stars that, you know, the good and the bad, but the good was that creatively you guys were just,
yeah.
And today you can see they're so guarded.
It's the outlaw spirit has been extinguished almost completely. But I'll take it in lieu of watching my friends die one after another.
Yeah, amen. Right.
So I guess, you know what? I think I'll take my friends being alive.
You're right, because you know what? And I'm still enjoying it. I still enjoy the product. I'm still having as much fun now as I ever did. So you're right, and that's a great thing to say. I mean, I know, you know, with you, obviously speaking of how many friends have gone, I mean, you know, thinking of Joni Lord, China.
Like, just so many people. I, you know, it just gets to be ridiculous. You know, like, there's people that know me that just get sick of hearing me talk about, oh, like, they don't know, like, every time they see me, I'm going to tell them, oh, yes, you know, I'll be in a bad mood. Oh, let me guess, somebody else died. You know, that's what it's come to.
Is it slowing down, though?
Yeah.
I feel it is.
Yeah.
I feel it's slowing down a little bit because we're learning how to manage it. Like you said, they're getting careful. Even, I noticed going with Maria at WWE behind the scenes now, compared to behind the scenes 10 years ago, and I see a big difference. They're much more alert, positive, the kids, the wrestlers, guys and girls, you know, whereas it was definitely, it was felt darker back
sure.
in the day. There was more partying. There was just more.
Well, there was a lot of partying going on in the Attitude Era. It was just like, it was pretty much kept, like, you know, there wasn't really that many incidences. You know, there wasn't, you know, wasn't a lot of problems, and if there was, like, the individual would, you know, they would stick out like a sore thumb. So there was a lot of fun going on back then, and people were keeping it in check for quite a while.
You know what? They're probably. I wonder if they're having as much fun. They're probably having fun in the ring, but not behind the scenes.
Nah.
They're very scared and guarded and, like, got
to
do
They're afraid to laugh around there. Like, you know, we come in and we're laughing and cracking jokes, and it's like we walk into one room and there's, like, a meeting going on, and we crack a joke, and it's like, what the fuck, funeral going on here? Like, you know, y'all are allowed to laugh, right? And it's like, I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, they're nervous. Man.
Who were some wrestlers back in the day that were fun to party with, Sean?
Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect.
Man.
Number one. The funnest guy of all time, ever. Yeah.
What made him so fun?
Just always, like, you could the room could just be full of negative energy and everybody's sad and just shitty mood. And he walks in and bam, the room lights up and he's like, yeah, 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 holding court and joking with people, you know. We'll be out, we'll be at the casino and he'll take plays. He would gamble big. Boom, boom, put $25 on a slot. Boom, hit a jackpot. He'll be laughing his ass off. The thing runs out of coins. This is a true story. And he's laughing, ha-ha, and he puts five in the next one. Boom, jackpot right next to him. Who the fuck does that? Who
yeah,
does
he's
that?
He's perfect. That's why yes. He was Mr. Perfect.
Unbelievable. And that's just one story. I could tell you 20 of them like that.
And by the way, he looked perfect till the end.
He was
amazing.
And, yeah,
and he even
incredible.
Wrestled perfect until the end.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, he slowed down, but him slowed down and still better.
Still better than
98%
right.
of guys.
Did you get a chance to work with him?
Oh yeah, yep.
What happened on that flight? The famous flight.
So many different things happened. Oh, the thing with Brock.
Yeah,
they just had they got. Kurt was messing with Brock, and I think Brock. This story might be a little off, but pretty much this is how it went. Mind you, there's a million other things going on, like eventful things too. But the Brock, Kurt Hennig thing was just Kurt was ribbing him and egging him on, and you know there was a lot of you know alcohol and things like that involved. And I believe Brock came and asked Jerry Briscoe, like, "Hey, what should I do?" You know, he's fucking with me.
Breaking
you know?
My balls, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Jerry said, oh, I don't know. I wouldn't take that if I were you.
Oh, God. Well, Jerry was a shooter,
you know,
too,
oh,
right?
Oh, Jerry. Right now, he'd be one of the last guys I'd want to tangle with.
Those
he's
guys.
So strong. He's 70 years old.
And they just get you down on the mat.
Yes.
And fucked.
Yeah.
And
I see him tie JBL up. Just tie him up. Like a baby. Just had him hog tied and just making him scream.
Look at that.
So, yeah. Anyways, they tussled and they went into the door and everything. But that place is pressurized cabin. That door's not opening for anything.
Okay.
30,000 feet in there. Come on.
I didn't think so.
There was no.
But one thing about Henning, it didn't seem like he was going to back down.
Never.
Block.
Never.
Never.
Would
right?
never do it. He couldn't.
And he could handle himself, too.
Yes,
he's an amateur
absolutely.
Wrestling background.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's Brock Lesnar, but it didn't matter to Kurt. Yeah. All man in a yard wide, as Gordon Solie would say.
Gordon Solie. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, I happen to think that Vince is very underrated as an announcer.
He
no
was
one
a fantastic
says
announcer.
I think he was fantastic, and no one says that.
And he wasn't, like, trying to get himself over, either. He would get egg on his face, look like the dumb, you know.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah. And he didn't want anybody to know he owned the company, you know.
Pull up the one that we always play. Pull up Golden Terror with Lou Albano.
Oh, Golden Terror.
So Pete Doherty has to put on a mask, and they got to make money off Drunken Pete.
Every time I go past Dorchester, I always think of Pete Doherty.
The old Duke?
Yeah, the Duke of Dorchester.
But here, okay, so now I want you to watch this video with me. Don't play it yet. But this speaks to your point. Vince is amazing. He doesn't break character. But I am totally fascinated by Lou Albano. This Lou Albano
that's
you're going to see.
Because
you
did
know
you know Lou at all?
No, I wish.
Wow.
Because I just know there was no script. There was no writers. There was no one coaching him. Nothing. You could just get the feeling as though it was like.
And he was like that nonstop, man. And at first, you're like, oh, he's the funniest guy in the world. When I first got there, I'm like telling everybody, oh, Captain Lou's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. You wait. You think he's funny now?
No. No.
3 days later, he's telling the same jokes over again. And it's like, ah, no.
I love
they were really funny, too, the first three or four times.
But then after that.
Yeah, but they really were funny.
Okay, play this. I want you to critique this for me. Go ahead, Jared. This is Lou Albano, Vince, and the Golden Terror.
Are you ready for this Thursday night?
Does a cat have a tail? Do a pussycat walk through the woods? Is he ready? Look at the man. Can you see through the man?
Look at the hand in the pocket,
get
too,
a close-up of his eyes. Determination. Will to win. mentally balanced, mentally competent.
Wow.
Did you agree with that?
Pete Doherty?
Speed. Agility.
Speed, no. Agility,
power.
No. Power.
Suplex artist.
Suplex artist, no.
Chicken wing specialist.
He's definitely a chicken wing specialist.
Step over the toe hole. Is he ready? Do a pussycat have a tail?
Does a pussycat have a tail?
Depends on the pussycat.
Well, I don't think we've ever seen the Golden Terra use a suplex in the square.
Well, I think you're soft, so what?
Cuts him right off.
Maybe it's an optical illusion. Maybe you haven't been able to focus your eyes quick enough to catch the man in action. He's been known to suplex from his knees. Can you do that?
What is
Get
the golden...
Calhoun out here right now.
What does the Golden Terra have to say about this?
Don't say nothing. Quiet. All right? He's not talking, Bumblebee. How do you like that, Wasp?
I like that, Wasp.
So there you have it from Louis Albano and the Golden Terra. The Golden Terra will join. Haystack.
And look at Vince. Is amazing. Never breaks character.
And Lou probably had about 10 bottles of wine by that time. He was great.
Because Friday's for the men.
So wait, so he was always, was he always in Captain Lou?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come
always.
On. Like, what would he say to you?
Just he was always that, that vibe. That
Were you around when he was still fat? Because I hated when he lost the weight.
Well, no.
I feel like he lost his superpowers.
He lost all the weight, yeah. There's some guys that just I wish would, some people that just look much better with the weight on, like Star Jones.
Right.
I don't want to name, No,
but they do. They look, it's like, I always
Al
say,
Roker.
You know, they look like the deflated balloon.
Sure.
The 2 days after the parade.
Yeah.
Like you took the helium balloon home.
Yeah.
And just like, but.
The fat bastard.
But yeah, I didn't like Lou when he was thin, but he didn't lose his energy then. Is that what you're saying? Do you still have the.
I don't know what happened. I don't know how he lost the weight.
Well, I think he was sick. And he had to. I think he had to. But when he came up to you, what would he say?
Hey, go get your tickets, get your money. Arnie Skolin's got money and your tickets in there. That would be like the thing that I remember him saying the most. I know that's crazy.
Okay, but were your tickets really there? I mean,
yeah.
So he was working there at the time?
No, I don't know why he thought he was Arnie. He's like, hey, go.
Well, he probably just wanted to still be part of the right?
Yeah, but I mean, he was.
Still part of, he wanted was, to still
sure.
be part
Vince
of the family.
Was all, Vince fired him so many times. So many times. And then just rehired him.
Kev, I have to check in with you because I don't know if you know how often Kevin actually references this man. Like, we watch this clip all the time. He plays this to pump himself up, to pump everybody else up.
Because
are you feeling okay about all this?
Well, I mean, if he wasn't amazing, he wouldn't have gotten
that's
rehired
what I mean.
All the time.
So, they fired him all the time because he was drunk, but he didn't care, right? And then they hired him right back.
But in repeating
he was
himself,
always sorry.
It
was always immediately sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's always good.
Katie, I'm sorry.
It always helps.
Yeah, after the fact, yeah.
All right, so
it's
you're
better to say sorry than ask for permission.
Okay, right, so wait, so then and Vince liked him?
Oh, I loved him.
Right.
Sure, and obviously got on his nerves sometimes, but hey, I don't mind having a locker room or a roster full of those kind of people if they're special like that. Guys with egos, guys that are marks for themselves, however you want to put it. Hey, if you're not a fan of yourself, why should anybody else be? So, yeah, it's a son of a bitch sometimes dealing with a locker room full of people like that. But what you get out of it is so much better.
Okay, what about Blassie? Anything?
Amazing.
Tell me. I'm talking about golden age of managers
He had a ring that was about a diamond that was about 15, 20. It was huge. It looked like it had to be fake. It was so huge.
Classy Freddie Blassie.
Fell off his finger in Poughkeepsie the night that I wrestled Razor in the return match for $10,000. It fell off and it landed in a pile of sawdust, and he didn't realize it, and I found it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Freddie was an awesome
guy. Did you
give
it back?
Tell me.
No, I kept it.
I kept it. I wish you did. That would be
still
a great memento. So what was he like? Did he mentor?
Yeah, he just sat, Vince liked to bring guys around, and then they would talk and tell stories, and it's a good thing to have those guys around.
And Vince knew that?
Yes.
Who else did he bring around just to kind of...
It was guys like Freddie and, that was what he did with Lou. And it just, it was different guys.
But I like that he did that.
Yeah.
See, that's the side of him. No one, you know what I mean? Everyone, I feel like too many people shit talk him, and I feel like it's not fair.
What was your relationship like with Vince? Was it at a distance at that time because he was the boss figure? Yeah,
I was younger, and I was a lot more intimidated because it was Vince McMahon. And I'm a real passive-aggressive guy by nature anyways, and which kind of – I don't know if that has anything to do with why I was intimidated, but I think it has something to do with it. So we had a great relationship. It's just that we didn't have a huge amount of dialogue back and forth. Not a huge amount. I related to Shane a lot more. Shane was like my liaison.
Shane's his son.
Yeah, Shane McMahon and Stephanie.
Stephanie's great too, right?
Yeah.
I love them.
They're both amazing.
And you're still close with Hunter.
Yeah. My best, dearest friend ever. Yeah.
The NWO, you guys are still close. I mean, like, it feels like you guys are still close.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that being part of the NWO, as much as it's okay, it's wrestling and it's a gimmick or whatever, but I kind of feel like there really is a bond with, hey, we're NWO.
Or DX.
Well, we were Wolfpack. I mean, NWO was cool because Hulk was in it and Mach and all that.
You're right.
But regardless of what they were doing, we were the Wolfpack. Kevin and Kevin.
You,
and
the three of you guys. Yeah. That's why it was so layered.
We built that. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was really cool.
So I feel like, you three, it's, you know, and then I mean DX too. Like, I feel like you guys.
Well, DX and the Wolfpack together are the clique, pretty much.
Right.
Back then, that was before Billy and Road Dogg. So it was Sean, Hunter, and then it was Scott, Kevin, and I were the Wolfpack. Hmm. And then China.
You guys, I mean, that's that whole group is still close.
And I don't mean and then China. Like
no,
last,
I know what you mean.
But,
you know, no.
She just that
bomb.
She wasn't the clique.
No, she wasn't. But she still was one and only.
Amazing.
You know, it's sad.
I don't know if you saw any of the memorial the other night.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. What was it on?
It was streamed. It was really, really good. It got started late, but
Who ended up attending?
Wow, a lot of people. Let me see. C. Thomas Howell. I saw him there. I think he didn't. I didn't think he stayed though. Well, I'm just going to tell you the people that were involved in the memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Williams.
Barry Williams, yeah. Greg Brady.
Yeah. He knew Joni. Like, I tweeted a picture earlier of all of us together. I don't know if you saw it. Like,
no, not yet, no.
I'm wearing a black, it was from the 2002 Billboard Music Awards, that one.
Oh, he's in Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. I thought it was the Elvis costume.
Yeah, but no, I think it's his Johnny Bravo, and he does it in somewhere in the Midwest, right? What's that like Vegas in the Midwest?
Oh, yeah, Branson.
Branson.
Yeah. And I'm wearing a like long fur coat with the fur headband and no shirt and leather pants. Mm. Nice.
So he attended. That was nice. Who else attended?
Oh, Coolio performed a song.
He
it
knew
was
her?
Really cool. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, a lot of people that couldn't be there like
sent in videos.
Yeah. There's so many people. It's hard to.
Who put that together?
Anthony Ansaldo,
the manager.
Manager, yeah, yeah. He actually reached out to me, and I was really grateful he did. I was really grateful I could attend that. It meant a lot. It was.
I remember the last time you kind of interacted was on Opie.
Yeah, it was brutal for that to be the last time.
I know
how that ended. That was like. It was really, like, when she passed away, that, you know, I stayed off of Twitter for like a month. I just sat and just did a lot of reflecting on shit, you know.
And so what is TMZ reporting that you said, sorry, I couldn't save
I
you?
Never fucking said that.
He was sorry for not taking better care of her.
I said that.
Said.
Yeah, and I don't know where they got that part. Now, yeah, I am sorry I couldn't save her, but, like,
but that's, those
we
aren't
can't
your words.
Save the world, like. I mean, that's probably the wrong way of putting it.
When you do say that you're sorry you didn't take better care of her, what exactly is it that you're sorry for?
Because we were, like, I'm only going to speak for myself. I wasn't in any condition to, like, you know, with the drugs and everything, and just the state of it's pretty fragile.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to be with somebody, you know, if you're going to be with a woman, you need to be able to take care of her. Mind you, she can take care of herself just fine, but just you should be, one should be able to take care of the other one. Either one should be able to take care of that, and I failed. So
do you,
you know,
feel
I got
to like,
live with that.
Do you feel like it just as easily could have been the other way around?
It was. Like, I mean, if you know my story at all, like, I mean, yeah, I was actually technically dead at one point. Yeah, I hung myself in from the roof of my apartment in Mexico, and luckily the woman I was with at the time, she found me, somehow got me unhung and performed CPR on me for like 45 minutes until the ambulance finally got there. And then I was in a coma for 3 days.
And that was
intubated with, you know, the tubes and everything.
That was meth, right?
No, that was that me just
crashing.
That was me. We had an argument and just, you know, it got physical and I never hit a woman before and, you know, I hit her and I swore I would die before I ever did that. So alcohol, pills and antidepressants do not mix. So, you know, on top of everything else.
So it could have been you.
Oh, absolutely. And not just that time. A million times, like, well, not a million, but, you know.
I know, I understand.
So many times, countless times.
You also talked about loving her, and in the same memorial speech that you gave, loving her until the day she died.
Yeah, sure.
As a romantic partner, you just love her as a human being.
As a human being, because we were, like, incredible friends before any romantic shit ever happened.
Was it awkward with Hunter, though? And,
yeah.
Right? Because
yeah,
you guys
but were... not, like, he was cool. He just was worried about me, you know? Because she was a complicated person to be with.
Yeah, I mean, he was happy with his new life. So
yes.
And that's nice that he was mature about it.
Yeah, but he was concerned. And,
right.
And, you know, because he knows me and he knows her and, you know, how I am. So.
Right, right. No.
Be real about it.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it.
Can I ask you, when you're that low and what... What's the journey back to health like,
so,
like for people?
It's such
out
a
there?
Long journey, man. And there's so many roadblocks and potholes along the way that it's understanding to me how some people just give up. I'm just being honest with you. You just go, I'm so fucking sick of living like this. You know, and it just doesn't seem like there's light at the end of the tunnel. I just never lost hope. I always saw at least a little tiny, you know, light. At least some.
You
it
think
was never in complete darkness. There was at least some light.
Part of you, even when you did attempt to hang yourself, knew that your girlfriend was there and maybe thought she was going to save you?
Not that time.
There was no light that
time.
Well,
that was the only time, but yeah. No, that was the time when I... You know, you're not thinking rationally. You know, half a gallon of vodka, cheap vodka,
yeah.
And Valium. And then after I did it, just so I wouldn't pussy out, I ate a whole bottle of Valium and washed it down with some Bacardi. So I would pass out, you know, and I couldn't unhang myself.
Yeah.
So it wasn't one of these, like, I'm crying for help things. It was like, I want to fucking die. And now I'm so grateful I didn't. I don't know anybody that ever tried to do that that isn't happy that they failed.
I've heard that.
So one
even,
thing to fail at.
Even people jumping, they say, well, it, like in mid-thought, oh, shit.
Yep.
I shouldn't have done this. You know, for people who've survived, they've said, yeah, no, they go, oh, no, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think about when you hear, because there have been so many people, like especially in the comedian world, Robin Williams, et cetera, that have committed suicide, do you wish that... Like they could know what it's like to be on the other end of that, or how do you feel when you hear all those stories?
I can relate to where you are in your head, you know, and how dark everything is when you're contemplating something like that. And for me, it was a real split decision.
Yeah.
You know, for somebody,
you hadn't thought about it at all before.
I'm not saying I had never crossed my mind, but nothing serious. Just like some, you know, the, you know, that happens with people in general. There's a lot of people, and they don't even admit it, that have suicidal ideation, where they have thoughts of suicide. Whether it depending on, like, what they're going through, or if they're the chronic pain, or, you know, things like that. It happens.
Who reached out to you? You're in the hospital, and you start coming out of it. Who from the wrestling world reached out first?
Well, you know, my friends are, like, the usual suspects are going to be there. Nash was on the plane, like, as soon as I got out of the hospital, on the plane to Mexico.
Oh, boy.
Scooped me up, and off we were to Houston, and I checked into a place called Menninger Clinic. I got nice and toasted before I showed up.
Okay, cool. Well, all right.
Oh, you were so pissed at Kev. He's like, what? I fucking got him here alive. What the fuck's your problem?
Yeah.
You think he's the only one that's ever showed up to rehab fucked up? And it's true. Like, I mean,
right.
Just get him there alive.
How long did you have to stay there for?
I didn't have to. I chose to stay there 4 months.
Wow.
Which, three was what they were wanting, and I wanted the extra month, like, big time. And even then, I was, like, crying, like, literally in tears when I left. Like, I wanted to stay. Like, because I did it right. You know, it was the first time, like, I could tell this is, it's, you know, something's, a light bulb's going off. I think maybe when you hang yourself, and like my eyeballs, nobody looked me in the eye because my eyes, the whites weren't white. They were completely red, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like freaking everybody out to even look at me.
Why was that? Was that from the choking?
The
it broke all the blood vessels.
Yeah.
Wow. But how great Kevin Nash, like, that's what a friend.
Sure.
Who else reached out during those 4 months?
You know, Hunter's there, and, you know, everybody. Everybody like that.
China
that
or no?
She was.
Well, she was
she
in
her own
pain too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had moved on at that point, which was very difficult. It was like, so hard to move on from that, regardless of how dysfunctional and unhealthy the relationship was. Still love the fuck out of each other, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Were you in shock when you heard that she passed?
Nope. I was devastated, but I knew it was coming.
Yeah, because
I said
you
it in the documentary stuff I filmed, the footage I filmed for a documentary 6 months ago, or however many months ago it was. I'm like, I this is what I'm hoping for, and this is what we need to try for, but I'm telling you right now, like, I just don't think it's gonna, like, I know her and I know how difficult it is to get, you know, it was such a tough nut to crack. I don't know what other.
What was your last correspondences with her when she was alive? Do you recall?
No. It wasn't correspondence. It was me leaving her at Cedar Sinai here. I would try to check her in.
What? How many years? When was that?
2005, something like that.
A long time ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And she needed help. And brought her there, and they wouldn't admit her.
Why?
When they talked to her and the things that she said, I guess from what she told them, they couldn't. And so I left her with the people. I left before she came back out. So she was with people that took care of her.
To make a statement, or why did you leave?
I wanted, like, there was nothing I could do. I was messed up
too. It was survival.
Not as bad.
Right, but it was survival.
I wanted her to get better, and I wasn't the one that was going to help make that happen. It was the people I left her with, a friend that was a police officer, and he was like R. Kelly's bodyguard when R. Kelly was in town, and we met him that way. So
this is back in 2005.
Yeah.
And then literally no correspondence from 2005 to now. Nothing.
Yeah.
Not bumping in at a convention. No. Not an autograph signing.
No. No. In the end, she wouldn't even take a booking if I was in the same building.
Even 11 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a hard question to ask, but do you wish there had been correspondence in the last decade, or are you?
I wish, because I don't know if you've ever had somebody die hating your guts, but it fucking sucks, you know?
Right.
Especially when you love them a lot, so.
Wow.
Right. Does something like that, or the or what happened to you, does that make you go like cold turkey on drugs, or does it make you just kind of reorganize?
No.
No.
You had already had it to figure it out.
I've been good for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like I'm having this beer right now, but like if you hold,
but like a social,
it,
yeah,
there's
so,
like this much beer left in this thing.
Katie, please demonstrate for us. No.
Katie, finish it.
I mean, it's
Katie,
like
what do you? I mean, Katie, you listen. You're not gonna hit on like a drunk or a drug addict. What do you? I mean, he's fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, that's good. That's there's, it. Still, yeah. There's still some beer in there. There's still beer in there.
Yeah, see? So already supportive of her guy. Gotta love Panty
and
Katie.
You need somebody like that.
That's it, right?
You tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear.
That's it. That's it. No, she will. She'll put your train on the tracks. But she's being nice to you now to get you sucked in. Then after that, party's over.
Oh, yeah.
No, Katie runs a tight ship.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Katie's a freak kind of, Kev.
What?
I just think.
Anyway.
Do you have physical pain from the years of wrestling, or do you feel good?
I do, but it's nothing to worth mentioning. I mean, yeah, it hurts, but what are you going to do?
Well, you still wrestle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, my matches are kind of a, you know how like a musician like will do a medley of their greatest hits.
Yes,
that's what my matches are now.
you just hit all the great spots.
Yeah,
you still do the kick.
Yeah, of course. All versions of it. Still,
do you have to stretch a lot and everything to keep
I bend
limber?
Over and touch my toes a few times before I go to the
ring. That's it, huh?
Yeah.
what about your workout regimen?
I tore my pec and my bicep, my pec tendon, my. Separated my third degree separation and torn labrum like all at the same time in October. I haven't been able to train much.
Wow. Will you be able to get back in there at some point?
To have it surgically repaired. And I just haven't had the time because I'm still wrestling.
And then after the surgery, are you able to...
It's like 10 months on the shelf.
And you don't make money.
No. People are like, I'm telling my doctor, right? Like my shit's swollen up to here. I got compartment syndrome. I'm like, I got to wrestle in 3 weeks. They're like, come on. Like, don't be ridiculous.
Have you tried cryotherapy?
No.
I'm going to send you down there this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Sweet. We're going to try some
things.
The truth
is, though, is the tendon is tore. I have to have the tendon repaired else. Eventually, it's going to tear all the way, and then I'll need emergency surgery. But
Panting Katie's very concerned.
I explained it to the doctor like this. I said, Doc, all right. Think about this. Take away, and I was just talking about a 10-day tour of the UK that I was doing in 3 weeks. I said, take away 15% of your yearly income, and what would it do to you? How would you feel? And he was like, never mind. I'm like, all right then. Now work with me here. Let's
be solution
do what I got.
Financially, do you get anything from the DX shirts?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's... Right?
Sure. Everything that I'm on, I get.
So you'll be, I mean, like, you know, it's. We're not going to see you in the wrestler story, right?
There's aspects of that I relate to a great deal.
The wrestler story?
I've been there. It's the sad story of the wrestler,
Being a big star at one point, and then your star fades, and then you're in a trailer park, and you know whatever.
It's a composite of several different.
Your health
guys
is going, and your finances. Yeah, it's hard.
You know, a strange relationship with the kids, which I totally relate to. You know.
Do you see a lot of the wrestlers from back in the when you go to those autograph conventions that are down and out?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's hard, right?
Sure, and a lot, and you know, and guys get bitter and. And I get it. You know, I don't know. We all, you know, I mean, I'd like to see guys get taken care of better. But, you know, also we kind of got to make our own way. And, you know, there's some personal responsibility there, too.
I think Vince comes from that generation.
Everything's not Vince's
fault. No. I think what they should do, because you guys are just so young, is that have more, you know... Financial advisors come in and speak and, you know, get you guys in the 401ks. And even now I'm learning there's ways to put away $20 a year and in 20 years have $250,000 or half. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know any of that stuff.
$20 a week.
$20 a week, yeah. I'm sorry.
And here's the thing. people go, oh, there's, you have no retirement. We make enough money, we can set our own retirement shit up.
Yeah.
Come on, get our own health care.
Right.
Come on, man.
But yeah, you know, yeah. I
and
hate
I
seeing
know
it.
The other side of it, and I get it. And, you know, I guess, you know, a company could do more or whatever. But is it really their
responsibility? But they make you, but here's the thing, they make you world famous,
yes.
Right? They make it so you can monetize your careers in so many ways, because we, you know, we just know from our business, you know, fame drives everything. Eyes and ears on your name and likeness drives everything. And to not have, and we pay for that. We'll hire publicists. We'll take out giant ads. You know, and the fact that you guys are all over the world, there's just something to do with that. But I think people have this, I call it a Santa Claus mentality, where they're going to wait for Santa to they retire and they wait for Santa to come and bring them another career or another, like, yeah. No, you have to be like Jericho working behind the scenes and, you know, launching his podcast and, you know, and doing TV, and he does his band and Stone Cold, you know, The Rock. You have to,
sure.
You got to work this stuff.
I think they owe it to physical needs when people put their bodies through such punishment, kind of like the NFL. Maybe that's the thing.
And they'll help out with that.
Yeah, they do.
They will. They really will. Here's the thing. Damn it! I lost my.
I was talking about Jericho and the rest of them.
Yeah, but it was something before that. Oh well. So
anyway, no, it's all right. If you think of it, bring it up.
Smoke another one.
But I was.
We understand that.
No, but I listen. But here's the thing. So we've been on a down note. But one of the reasons why he's here is to announce a new phase in his career, which I actually think is going to be an amazing transition. I think he'll, you know, obviously he'll still be wrestling, but I really feel as though this is gonna be next level for him, and I think he's gonna enjoy it, and I know he's gonna be amazing at it. So I've heard many of his podcast appearances. I heard him on Owen, but then I heard you host.
Andre.
Do the Sam Roberts show, but you really sat in more of as a host. It felt like more than a guest, and
was Jimmy
I loved
there too?
It. When on Sam Roberts,
yeah. Taylor was there.
Oh, Taylor Stucker.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what, this guy's got it. And at WrestleMania this year, I didn't know you at that time, and I went up. I said, oh, you know, Maria's boyfriend, and I said, have you ever thought of doing your own show? And then, you know. God, you think of how long ago that was, right?
Yeah, what, WrestleMania, yeah.
Yeah, it was like months ago. And so we've been talking and talking, going forth, putting like a team together, whatever.
Really?
And yeah. So we're announcing the...
should we do a drum roll?
We probably should have some kind of drum roll, but Jared's lame in the booth.
But you don't have a sound effects machine back there.
Yeah, it's going to...
it's called Roxy.
It's going to be X-Pac... Sean Waltman's podcast, and the name is X-Pac 12360. So it'll be featuring his thoughts.
12360. I love that.
His thoughts is on wrestling, life, and then cool. You know, interviews with his friends and up-and-comers.
Oh, my God.
Legends. And I really feel because you do have such great insight. You know, tonight we kind of grilled you on, like, gossipy stuff. But before the mics went on, we were even talking about getting healthy and going into your core. And I mean,
yeah.
There's just a lot. There's a lot inside of you.
Yeah, not just talking about wrestling.
Just
a million.
Yeah.
I have a lot of things to talk about. But you know, I also just want to talk about what the people want to hear me talk about.
Well, we want to hear you talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just you interviewing. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, for example, or Ric Flair, or Cena, or Hunter is going to be far different than any of us.
Well, I mean, I have personal experiences with these people
for
decades,
right?
So, I mean, I've interviewed guys before, and it's really turned out really well because they're not interviews; they're conversations, Kevin.
That's it,
and that's the key to it.
And we can't have those, but you can,
right?
You know, and that's what makes it different. It makes it so much more provocative than what we're used to.
That's my style, I guess. Is that how you want to? I mean,
yeah.
You know, you would say, and I mean, maybe it's not as it doesn't fit in with the radio, the more structured. But like, you know, on a podcast format, I'm just all I can just go all over the map.
Yeah.
I can do whatever.
And I think in
if I go off into the weeds, no problem.
Yeah, but it's no problem, but it's still interesting to us when you do as fans. And like I said, when you go off in the weeds with these other people, it's going to be great. So I know, you know, there's very few wrestlers who aren't going to sit with you.
It's fun. Yeah.
So that's
where is this living? Where can everybody find
it? It will be on iTunes and YouTube,
cool.
like we always do. Produced by AfterBuzz TV.
Awesome.
We will get back to you. We'll tweet out and we'll put a message up, and he'll also tweet out for when the start date is.
Cool.
Well, hopefully this week we'll start banking a few. But super.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I like this.
I'm just honestly, here's the thing too. You know, when you approach me at WrestleMania, I don't know if you realize how, like, I was so psyched by that. Like, somebody coming up to me and wanting to, you know, do all this work to help me, you know, get this going. And, you know, when people believe in you, like, that's huge.
That's Kevin for
that's
you.
That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm the type of guy that needs motivation, and it takes a lot to motivate me, and you did it. You know,
thank you.
And it's like, you know, even like, I don't know, like for me to even go, hey man, I'm just checking in. That's a lot for me. I'm not going to lie to you. So I'm not the biggest phone person in the world. Like I should be a little bit better of a communicator.
Hey, you've been great. No, you've been on it. You've been on, you know, you've been, and again, it's, I feel like it might be the wrestler's work ethic, but no, you've
don't
been.
Don't tell my family.
Yeah, well, but you've been on it. You've been like, hey, what are we doing? Where are we at with this? And we've put a really good team around you to support you. And and I remember when I approached you, I'm like, God, he's going to think I'm some Hollywood, like.
No,
you know,
I could tell right away.
You know, like, but.
Because I've heard all of those people rub cheese on my neck a million times. It was different. Rubbing cheese on my neck. I mean, like, you know, giving me the.
I've never heard that expression before. That's a good thing, rubbing cheese on somebody's
neck? No, it's bullshit. It's just, you know, giving them, blowing smoke up their ass. And,
I know that one.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm psyched for this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Especially if you're as real and raw and you get and you pull that out of your gut. Like, that's, it's going to be amazing.
It gets there because, like, I just, it has in the past. I'm expecting it too, you know. It's gonna be really cool.
I don't want to say I've never.
I just don't even know who the first. I have a short list of the first guest.
Obviously,
our guests,
right?
Sure.
I mean, Scott and Kevin, and Hunter,
Scott,
and
Kevin, Sean, or
Sean. You know. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous, and of course, Steve's gonna help Stone Cold because he just helps.
He's
everybody's
awesome.
The best, right?
The best.
And, you know, so, and I think, you know, we won't. I told him, like, people want to hear. Again, why am I talking to you guys? You won't understand this. But people want to know Nikolai Volkoff, and they'll want to know, like, Jim Duggan. They'll want to, like.
You know, some of the, like, the names you might not think you'd be interested in listening to might be the most interesting.
That's right.
Conversations you could hear.
And it's nice because you know what else? It's giving these guys a platform. So let's say they have something to promote, a business. So, you know what I mean? It gives them a chance to build a fan base because you're in a very unique position because you are NWO and DX and you are still beloved by the company. And, you know, so you're in a great spot to do this where there's guys who don't leave in the best of terms. Then there's guys who haven't been there that long. And they're doing good with podcasts. You know, there's a couple of guys that not really weren't known, the biggest known wrestlers. But now that we have because like Stone Cold and Jericho are killing it.
Yeah.
They're killing it in the podcast.
And I think it's the access to guests.
Yes. But again, it's also that familiar, that you can have a conversation with them.
Sure.
We have to conduct an interview. And it's different. And then I think because you really have been through it. And I think go back to the fact that at 15 you were reading self-help books. That says something.
Actually, it was a little bit later. It was into my early 20s.
Early 20s, okay.
But still, you know.
But still, that's like you were on a search for something more.
I was always, I've been like on a like search for enlightenment like for a long time. Like some people fight it. You know,
well,
they don't want to be enlightened.
No, most like civilians do because it's painful.
Bliss.
Yes, because it can be painful.
You'll probably get something out of these interviews too. Then talking
to
Stone Cold or talking to any of
anybody.
These people, yeah.
You will.
Anybody. I learn from anybody I have encounters with.
Especially Katie?
I can't even tell you how much I've learned.
Really?
Next to Katie.
Katie, you know what, Katie? You really came through as very supportive tonight.
I couldn't have done this without you.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I was so scared.
Thank you.
It's so funny. He's so confident in the ring, and then with girls, he gets shy.
That
was a big reason I did a lot of drugs. A lot of people do drugs for they can't sexually express themselves otherwise. That was a big deal for me. Like, it helped me a lot with that.
Confidence with women?
Yeah, or just overall, like, that whole...
Like, in bed?
That, just everything about it. You know, I mean, the whole...
From start to finish.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. Anything having to do with that.
You guys must have got such hot girls when DX and NWO, right? Like, come on.
Okay.
All of you. Just take you out of it. Okay, not you, but okay, yeah. Let's say the rest of the clique. Come on.
We don't have to take me out of it.
Okay, good. All right, I'm just saying that, you know.
Oh, he likes it. Keep going.
Yeah, go
on. I mean, the ones, I never...
Do any of them hit you back up on Facebook or tweet at you or... Yeah, I see. I look that
smart. Not anymore.
Katie, that doesn't mean... It's fine. He doesn't engage them, Katie.
But, I can tell he's playing all innocent.
They hit you. No, they must tweet. Come on, they still find me for crying out loud.
I still, here and there. Here and there, but, you know.
Remember me? Yeah.
Just actually only a couple of times. So, and it was nothing that you ever, like.
A couple, 1, 2, 360.
Yeah.
1, 2, 360.
See what I did there?
Do you ever, I know it's a hard one to answer, but have you thought about Hall of Fame?
I think there's a big list of guys that need to go in before myself. I'm not going to tell them no if they come to me, though. You know?
Has anybody ever done that?
What?
Said no?
I think so. Really? I think Honky Tonk Man did once.
Early on, I know Bob Backlund had just kept saying no for the longest time.
Bruno
said no.
Why?
A lot of the older guys.
Yeah, didn't like the direction the company was going in, didn't like the product, you know, the...
And so old school, not really understanding, like.
But not because they didn't feel like they deserved it.
Yeah, no. They knew they deserved it. It was just, again, the old fashioned guys.
They didn't like a bunch of long haired freaks going around on TV yelling "suck it" on their wrestling show.
Yeah, kind of bummed them out. You know, but I think with you, I mean, like, I think the way they put in the Horsemen, they'll probably put in DX.
Sure, well, they almost did. If Bruno, the backup plan for the Garden when Maria inducted Bob was, if Bruno didn't accept, was put DX in then.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we're good. We got to get a ring. I got to get you in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll just make my own.
Who do you think? Well, I love that, too.
Wolfpack was going to make six-man belts and just say we're the world six-man champ, tag team champs. Just make our own belts.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
What are they going
to do? Right, exactly. Well, you guys at that point could have done what you wanted.
Yeah.
Who do you think needs to go in?
China.
I think now.
On a timely basis.
Don't you think that's a no-brainer now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else do you think?
Rick Rude, British Bulldog, is both of them.
Both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely both of them.
Right.
Yeah, they're both equally deserving. Dynamite, I mean, he's still alive, too.
Don't think they'd want him wheeling in. Right? Don't think
so it, what?
So, I know. I say so what, too. But.
You know, I mean, Bushwhacker Butch looked pretty rough, but, man, he still was great when.
They were great.
Yeah.
They were great.
It was hard seeing him like that. He had a hard time walking back when I wrestled with him. His ankles are all fused together. Brutal.
And they went out and did it.
Every night, yeah.
I love it. Who else do you think?
Wow. There's. Now that you are asking me, like, I'm probably drawing a blank. I'm thinking of, you know, Rude, like I said, Bulldogs, shit, Rick. Guys that are still alive. You know, there was talk. People were talking about Martel. I think Rick Martel. Like,
really?
Not like, you know, something like the first guy people would think of, but he was so good.
He was good, the model. Yeah. Oh, wow,
so
that's
good.
Interesting. You think that he should.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. He was a world AWA world champion.
What are some of the dream matches that you think that you wish you could see?
That mean, right now or from my era?
Even from your era that never happened, you know?
Gee whiz. Did I just say gee whiz?
Gee whiz.
Oh, yeah. Shucks.
That's Katie. Katie cleaned up your act. That's what she does.
Raising a lot of heck around here.
Yep.
That's what Bob used to say. He'd always say, raising some heck.
Raising
some heck. You want to say hell, Bob? No. I'm drawing a blank on. There's so many guys.
What about from now? Who do you love seeing fight or wrestle? Who do you like to watch?
There's so many good guys, and they just they're developing that emotional equity with the people right now. They're still getting there, but like you know, the Kevin Owens is the you know all these guys. This current crop of guys that are really heating things up. Cesaro, I mean, just tons of guys. Ambrose, Rollins.
Rollins is great.
Yeah, I knew, like, when the Shield split up, that was my, like, before that, I was like, yeah, Reigns is.
Because it's obvious, gorgeous guy.
Yeah.
He's built out of, you know. Whatever,
Roman was my pick when I saw him in developmental. But, like, after the Shield split up, like, I'm thinking. Mike skills wise and overall in ring and even his body, even though he's not as big as Roman, like Seth really is.
He's amazing.
Really rocking a lot of the main ingredients you need.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah.
He's fun.
When we had Barbie Blank, when we had Kelly Kelly come in, she was talking about how she doesn't necessarily feel like there is a female that everybody can get behind. Do you have a female favorite? Or
here or right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely there is. It's Sasha Banks. She's the hottest lady on the planet right now as far as wrestlers.
Why do you love her too.
She's that good. She's just, I mean, her
on the mic?
My everything's just razor sharp. Her look, everything about her.
Bring up Sasha Banks so the kids can see.
Changed. And all I hear about is Dana Brooke, Natalya, Charlotte, and even you.
Zach.
Oh.
But it seems to me that people are forgetting
who's this, Summer?
Who the boss is of this women's division.
And she's a heel in this. Now, like, she's just came back from injury, and she's getting baby face pops.
They huge, love her, right?
Huge pops.
Oh, my gosh. Who so, and
I love Charlotte Flair.
She's awesome, too. Yeah.
But it's only a matter of time, I think, right before Sasha.
Yeah, she's the number one. Charlotte's right up there, too. Huge fan of hers.
Yeah, why would you say? Because I hate to say it, maybe because I'm so old school. But why would you say that she, Sasha, edges out Charlotte?
Look at her. Look, I mean, that's
just meaning
young,
what
young people like. They see that and they relate to that.
Meaning the purple hair,
all of that shit. And that's Snoop Dogg's cousin.
Right. No, I know
that doesn't hurt.
Definitely doesn't hurt.
But I also think
it just gives you her swag.
Yeah,
she's
got
the way she carries herself, everything. Yeah.
But with for me about Charlotte is when I think of women's empowerment and whatever. The fact she's such a great athlete,
amazing athlete,
right? But she's 31 years old. I mean, so I guess it's like her time now. But soon it'll be like Sasha's in her. In 20s,
and making me, Frazier and Ali,
right?
You know, you need a great opponent to be great,
and just go back and forth.
Yep.
And by the way, like it just
and what, Bailey's amazing too.
Bailey,
yeah, the people just love her, Kevin.
Keep your eye on Daria Baronetto down in NXT.
Okay,
she's from AfterBuzz. She was a reporter for AfterBuzz. She used to host the UFC show, and she's a UFC fighter. So I went to one of her fights, and ended up being ugly, the fight. And look at this. She is fighting Bailey. But me and Maria said, listen, WWE, we know someone over there. We know someone at USA. there's like 2,000 people going for the next Tough Enough. You'll be one of 2,000. We can't get you, but we can get them to at least look at you. And I told her, I said, don't. I know you don't want to say to me, I'm a real fighter and this, that, and the other thing. Please don't. And what I love about Daria, another one with an old soul, 20, 21 years old. And she was like, no, Kev, you know what? Like, no, you've been my mentor from the beginning. Like, I'm in. If you guys think it's a good thing. And she's killing it down there. I'm so proud
good
of her.
Good for her.
Let's bring up some better pictures. So
we need,
I want you to see
we
her.
We need people that have that real fighting element.
Right.
We need more of those again instead of all these, like, sorry, all the cosplayers. That we got a business full of cosplayers now. Guys that go, they order some indie wrestler starter kit from highspots.com. You know, the plastic pants.
Yes.
And, you know, the kick pads and they're a wrestler. And they're bought and they don't look. You know, they don't look the part other than the costume they're wearing.
No, she's legit. She's an MMA fighter, but like I said, old soul, very hard worker, clean living. We're really proud of her. And then also, Kathy Kelly's another one who started after Buzz, who now is a commentator on NXT. Yeah, she does commentary.
Who's the girl that works with Sam? That's
Kathy.
Kathy Kelly.
Okay, yeah.
It's Kathy. Bring up Kathy's pick. So I want you to keep these guys on your radar, if you would. You got to take care of these kids for me.
And Smiley.
And then Smiley works. Ryan Katz works behind the scenes as a producer. Do you know him?
No.
I bet you do.
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah.
Bald with the funny, the cool mustache.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Super hard worker. There's Kathy. There she is. That's Kathy. You know Kathy from the Sam Roberts Show.
Yep.
But she's doing great. Yeah, three of our own down.
I'm really happy for Sam. He's doing fantastic.
He's doing amazing.
He's great.
We have it would be his 1 year anniversary. I think it's tonight.
Oh, with the show? Or?
Yes, with the show. Wow. So yeah, he's people in studio and a whole thing going down. So yeah, he's doing well, and he may join us for the Juggalos.
Great.
We want to go to the gathering.
Yeah, yeah. You were mentioning that earlier.
Yeah, so before you go, tell me about I know you wrestled at it. I've never seen you.
Though. It's in a different location.
It's in Ohio somewhere, right?
Yeah, but this place was Cave and Rock.
Didn't you have to take a boat to get there?
No, but you had to take this. It was a crazy campground that was all private. And let me tell you what. Wow, man. I can't even. It's hard to explain. Well, you'll get an idea of, like, the scenery, but it's not like this part's not there anymore. Every year there's this bridge, and they called it Drug Bridge, and you could walk down on this bridge and get any drug known to man on this bridge. And it was insane.
Were they peaceful?
Yes. Yeah. Now, they weren't peaceful. They weren't violent. Everybody loved each other.
Okay.
But if there was like a turd in a punch bowl, like somebody... They caught somebody stealing them. They burned their car. They destroyed their car, tipped it over, and lit it on fire.
We're not going to be turds in the punch bowl, right? If we go,
We want to beam. I said to Ian, I said, let's go to 2016 Earth Gathering of the Juggalos. Let's beam down there and broadcast. So we're talking about broadcasting live from the gathering.
But it's just an amazing, like, I highly suggest you go and check it out. Because, and I mean,
did they ask you to wrestle this year?
No.
Because I think one of the Hardys is wrestling. I think, right, Jared, really? Who's wrestling at the JBL? Is it Juggalo?
Yeah, check the line up here. One sec.
The thing is, man, those guys, the clowns, they love wrestling. So
love,
much.
Right?
It's so cool. it's so cool to see how much they love it.
They wrestled too, remember? Yeah. Like they wrestled in WCW,
they don't do
right?
it anymore.
No, in WWE too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, they don't do it anymore.
WWE, they used them like, they treat them like jokes, kind of like a comedy thing, and they're not, you know. They were trying to let them know, hey, no, we're not like funny clowns. We're evil clowns. Like,
right.
And
yeah,
so they didn't like it.
It's in Thornville, Ohio.
Yeah, we got the Monster Abyss, Jeff Hardy, Tommy Dreamer, Congo Kong, War Child.
Is that Willie Mack down there?
Yeah, that is Willie Mack.
He's great.
Talented
guy.
He is.
I went and met him. I went to his a friend of mine was his teacher. He was, like, taught the, like, Welcome Back, Cotter Kids.
The Sweathawks.
And so I went and met his kids at a park in L.A., right? And Willie Mack was one of them. He was like 16.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's great. I love that guy.
We'll keep you updated on the gathering of the Juggalos.
We got to be live, Kev.
Yeah, really? Well, it's up to you, Jared. Well,
that guy, Congo Kong, the guy that looks like Viscera right there?
Yes.
He's really, that guy can move.
He almost looks like Abdullah.
A little combination like the Abdullah, body. Kamala, and Viscera.
Kev, no trips to Drug Bridge, okay?
There is no Drug Bridge anymore.
No, there's no drug bridge.
No, I'm not saying there's no drugs there, but there's no drug bridge.
No drug bridge. No, I have a, listen, my oath is my ship, my crew, my vessel. I have to stay sober because we have to complete the mission. Yeah. We somehow have to infiltrate the Juggalos.
Not me, right?
Yes, you have to. You're wearing the uniform.
The only
uniform.
Way to
You're
infiltrate
an officer.
Is to do drugs.
We may listen. We may have to. One of us may have to take it for the team, yep. But it's to infiltrate. And then remember the prime directive, guys. We can't affect.
That's right.
Right? We can't affect. We can't affect what's going on. We can't affect the future.
No.
So we really have to get in. Our mission is to observe. You know, strange life and new civilizations to boldly go. Where no podcast has gone before.
Where no person has gone before.
That's right. They changed it. They changed it to no one. They said he always.
What was the PC deal?
Because I said Fridays for the men, and because it's an old saying in construction that like that's your day. The bosses, we'd all be hungover, and the bosses couldn't say shit because I was told early on when I was in my 20s, like no, Fridays for the men. It's always stayed with me. Then she said, excuse me, it's also for the women.
All right, excuse me. I did not say that.
He did. I was going to ask you, like, if one person's birthday comes up, does everybody in the house get a present at your house?
It's only fair that everybody equally.
Stop it, Ian. Oh, we talked about that.
I used to hate that shit when I was a kid. Yeah, it's my birthday.
Yeah, that's the millennials.
Fucking sister getting a present.
No, that's the millennials. Everybody gets a trophy.
I've never heard of that.
This is what I'm surrounded by.
A trophy,
the present thing. I've never heard of that.
Oh, my house. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Good thing we got you away from them. Right. Okay. Listen. Unbelievable interview. Thank you so much, Sean, for coming in.
No, thank you. Thank you for your hospitality.
Oh, well. It's nice to have you on campus.
The compound is amazing here. The AfterBuzz studios are incredible.
Well, you haven't been to AfterBuzz yet. No, this is... This is just Casa de Kev.
I didn't know if we were allowed to say we're
no,
at your house.
No, well, we just I don't know, we lightly allude? Everyone kind of says it's okay. It's all right. Joe's
Karen
here to protect
doesn't
us.
Like it particularly. But
we have security, so we're fine. Whatever. But the compound, like I said, just enjoy it. Enjoy the facilities.
It's incredible, yeah.
Nice place. And but we so much look forward to X-Pac 12360. More news to come for when we debut. Right?
Yeah.
And so you are at The Real X-Pac.
Yes, sir.
Anything else coming up besides the podcast?
That's it.
That's it. Good.
Cool. I mean, I have live events I do, but nothing coming up for... I have a few weeks off.
And you'll tweet about them when you have them?
Oh, wait. I think it might be July 7th. Anyways, yeah, I tweet about it. Like, okay. I don't come on... I don't... And I know this is silly because everybody comes on to plug something. I usually... don't have, people ask me to come on and I don't have anything to plug. I just do it,
It's just so great because you're so secure because a lot of celebrities won't come on shows unless they have something to promote.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Come on. You have a great story to tell.
I don't care if I have something to promote or not. If I don't have anything to talk about, I don't come on.
Yeah.
This is the first appearance I've done since the...
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I haven't done anything and I've been called and... I've gotten so many requests. I mean, from people that are close to me, that I like. And I don't know, I'm not going to name any names of people that have asked me to.
I know some of them
shows,
who have.
They're cool, really cool, and I want to do it. Like I've done it before, and I just didn't want to talk to anybody.
I appreciate how open and honest you are with things, and just incredibly humble.
Yeah,
I
have to be. Plus, everybody already knows my shit anyway. So, what are you gonna do?
You're so secure too.
Yeah.
You really are.
Katie helped him with that.
Yep.
Katie, your man is confident, secure.
I'm proud.
Yeah. Right. Right. Katie runs a tight ship at the house, though. I don't know about that freaky stuff we keep hearing about.
I don't know.
Yeah. What is that?
Right. I guess we'll find out.
I don't know if we ever will.
It's you guys, it's at Roxy Stryer. It's at Ian Films. It's at Blatcast. It's at Gilkerson Radio. At Lauren LaGrasso. Lauren, you playing anywhere soon?
TBD.
TBD.
Hopefully.
All right, TBD. You guys, and I'm at Undergaro. We'll be back shortly, as we say in Boston. Back
shortly.
On, like a shortly.
Back on
Where's
Monday.
Joe at?
Oh, yeah, he'll be
He's
here.
He's dressed like Mr. Scott with the red.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's security. Yeah. Wait, security, that's our guy.
At
yeah.
Katie with three E's Campbell.
He's great.
At my little
I'm
Katie.
I'm sorry.
At Katie Campbell with three E's.
That's right.
And you guys, until then, please do your best trying to make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.